Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
I'm out and about again, and I'm here in the National 1798 Rebellion Centre, right here in Enniscorthy. And I'm delighted to be joined by Mico Hassett. She's the manager of Enniscorthy Castle and this wonderful centre that we have here. Firstly, you might explain to our listeners what we have here and what role Wexford played in this famous rebellion.
We have an interactive exhibition here at the 1798 Centre. It goes room by room, taking you from the inspiration for the United Irishmen for the 1798 Rebellion, which was grounded in the American Revolution and the Revolution in France, and then how it came to be in Wexford, the uprising here, the key players in the rebellion. There's quite a bit of interactive and audiovisual as you go through. And then after you come out of a reenactment of the Battle of Vinegar Hill, there's a bit about the aftermath and the rebellions that happened during the mid-19th century as well.
And for those of us who don't know about the Battle of Vinegar Hill, this was 20,000 insurgents armed mainly with pikes against 10,000 well-trained armed forces from the Crown. This is what we were dealing with here.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were men, women and children. Basically, the town of Enniscorthy and the surrounding area was emptied of its citizens because the yeomanry was quite vicious in their attacks. And so a lot of people retreated from the town and went up to the camp on Vinegar Hill, where they thought they would be safer. You know, they thought they'd be protected by the rebel soldiers there. And then the Crown forces surrounded the hill and bombarded the camp, didn't discriminate against men, women, children. Whoever was there was going to be massacred. Fortunately for the rebels, a gap was left, Needham's Gap. He arrived late to the party and left a gap, and most of the people managed to escape, but 1,500 people died on the hill that day. Wow. Many of them are still where they fell.
So this is an important piece of Irish history.
It is. It is. And that battle was really the turning point in the rebellion. From there, there were small skirmishes, but that was pretty much the end of the rebellion.
Okay, I'm looking at a whole lot of exhibits here. We'll come to the famous pike in a minute. But Will is here, and he's going to explain maybe some of the weaponry of the time to us.
I suppose we can start with, we have a musket. So they were known as a Brown Bess at the time. They were used mainly by their rank and file, sort of normal infantry soldiers of the Crown forces. They could fire off shots, about 3 shots every 60 seconds. And if they couldn't, they would be sent to drills repeatedly until they could get up to this standard, to this baseline. The rebels would have scavenged many of them from previous battles, from dead and injured soldiers of the Crown forces.
Wow. Right, let's go over here and have a look at this. Tell us about this. So it's a pike, and I'm standing beside it. I'm 6'2". I'd say it must be all of 8 feet, is it?
About 8 feet, yeah. So pikes, they're definitely the most sort of significant visual thing of the rebellion. So pikes, the pikemen would use them. They're initially made out of ash wood. When they would retreat into the countryside, they became made out of oak. So the blades would typically be about 6 to 8 inches on top. The handle would be about 6 to 8 foot. And they were used purely for when officers were on horses, for cavalry, that they would be able to kind of get a closer range to them. The hook on the side would come later. That was an addition. And that would be to hook the rein, to pull the horse down, and sort of immobilize the horse and the rider to then dig in and get the kill on them.
Whoa. Now I'm walking through the museum.
So we start with a bit about the inspiration for the United Irishmen and the influence of the American Revolution and the French Revolution on the uprising in Ireland. The Wexford Room details what the conditions were at the time and why the different areas were dissatisfied with how Ireland was being governed at the time. One of the important things for us is that the United Irishmen was a non-sectarian organization. So it was founded in Belfast and comprised quite a few Protestant landowners who actively recruited Catholic members to the organization.
I didn't know that. That's actually really interesting.
This room, it has giant chess pieces in it, so it's quite striking, and it talks about the movements of the Crown Forces and the rebels and the key players in that game of chess.
Wow. So we just saw an amazing piece of film in there, Miko. Thank you for ending on that. It's been a great tour, and it's a wonderful attraction for the people of Enniscorthy, and indeed for the people who come to visit it, but for the people of Enniscorthy and indeed Wexford. So Miko, thank you so much for showing us around and giving us your time here today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.